everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Erin.
And I'm Kat.
And we are talking about Hong Kong today.
Hong Kong! Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
One of the biggest, one of the coolest cities in the world, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
What do you know about Hong Kong? Have you been there?
I have not been to Hong Kong yet. Mm-hmm. I do plan to go someday.
Okay.
I would like to go and see, like, the harbor. I heard mm-hmm. they have a really nice harbor and beautiful mountains and great food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you been there?
I have. There's lots of fun hiking in Hong Kong, nice beaches. The food is great, and you can get all different kinds of food there. It's very multicultural.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess there's a lot of different kinds of people who live in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
There's also some different animals that live there too, right?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. So a little bit of a different thing to find in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
What is it? Let's find out.
Reading.
Wild boars call Hong Kong home. Hong Kong is famous for its crowded streets and tall buildings. The city is more than just that, though. In fact, some locals are realizing that even Hong Kong has a wild side. In addition to 7 million people, many wild boars also call Hong Kong home. These animals are cousins of pigs, but they have more muscle and hair. They can be as heavy as a person and will eat almost anything they can find. Boars live in many places around the world, but primarily in forests. In Hong Kong, however, they are happy to live in the city. Some of Hong Kong's people have started to appreciate the boars, thinking they're cute. Unfortunately, large animals like boars can be dangerous. Some residents have already been hurt by them, and the number of boars is increasing every year. The city is trying to lower their numbers, and citizens are being warned not to feed the animals. In the end, people will have to find a way to live together with their piggy neighbors.
Okay, so starting off with our article today, we find out about our beautiful city of Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Hong Kong is famous for its crowded streets and tall buildings, of course, because there's a lot of people living there.
Yeah, I mean, probably more people than have houses, I think. I think that is one thing about Hong Kong. It's very crowded.
Mm-hmm.
The houses have to be really small. They're often very expensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of the buildings, especially in the downtown area, are very tall because, mm-hmm. you know, they're for businesses and that sort of thing.
But
it says here in our article, the city is more than just that, though. More than just crowded buildings. More than just busy streets and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there must be more than just buildings and streets. There must also be people.
Exactly. Well, what do we mean by more than just? Well, we use this phrase more than just in this sentence to show that people know about Hong Kong for more reasons than just being crowded and having tall buildings. Now, Hong Kong is actually famous for lots of things, including its delicious food, its beautiful islands, and its multicultural people.
Mm.
So instead of just being crowded and having tall buildings, there are more things to know about this great city. Here's an example. There will be more than just speakers at this event. As well as the speeches, there will be games and parties too.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like Hong Kong is not only famous for being crowded, but there's also something else special about it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the article says, some locals are realizing that even Hong Kong has a wild side.
Mm.
Ah, okay. So what is this word realize here? Well, this is a verb that means kind of come to understand something.
Mm-hmm.
So it means like maybe they didn't quite think about it before or know about it before, but now that they're thinking about it or realizing it, they know that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like discovering something is true that has been true. It's like a moment, or remembering something that's important that you might not have thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
So the noun for realize would be like realization. If you put A-T-I-O-N on the end of it, you get realization. Like come to a realization about something. It means the same thing as realize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it can be, you could realize something very suddenly, or you could realize it slowly over time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's an example sentence for you. After looking outside and seeing it raining cats and dogs, Fred realized he'd forgotten to bring his umbrella with him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
typical.
Fred.
Yeah.
Oh, Fred. And that's probably a sudden realization.
Yeah. We also saw a grammar pattern in that sentence that we should talk about. So the grammar pattern here is subject plus transitive verb plus that. Now, some verbs need to be followed by an object. We call these types of verbs transitive verbs. It sounds funny if you say this kind of verb without an object. For instance, if I said, Jack realized. This sentence sounds kind of funny because it makes you think, well, what did Jack realize? You need to follow realized with something. That's the object. Now, there are lots of transitive verbs in English, but today we're going to talk about transitive verbs that express ideas, expectations, and opinions. These can include realize, think, say, know, understand, hope, and notice. Now, when we use these transitive verbs, we often follow them with a noun clause using that. This noun clause acts as an object for these words. Let's look at the original sentence. Some locals are realizing that even Hong Kong has a wild side. Now, we can't say some locals are realizing. We have to follow it with an object. Here, that object is a noun clause. That even Hong Kong has a wild side. Let's make a sentence with another transitive verb. Arthur hopes. What does he hope? We need to add a clause here, a noun clause. Let's add that he can go on vacation with his friends. And if we put it together, Arthur hopes that he can go on vacation with his friends. Now, here's something else you should know about that in these sentences. You can say the sentences correctly without actually using that at all. So, for instance, some locals are realizing even Hong Kong has a wild side. It's still correct without the that. Here's another. Arthur hopes he can go on vacation with his friends. So both of these sentences are fine with that and without that. So what is this wild side that's taking place in Hong Kong?
I mean, you know, people can be wild, but this is not what we're talking about here. So it says, in addition to 7 million people, that's a lot of people, many wild boars also call Hong Kong home. Wild boars! Wild boars!
Yeah.
They're a kind of pig.
Yeah. There's actually plenty of them in Taiwan, too.
Yeah, but they're mostly in the forest. You don't really, you don't see them in Taipei.
Yeah.
So here we have this phrase, in addition to, which means in addition to the 7 million people. In addition to A, also B. This is what it means, that B can be added to A.
Right.
It could be something positive or negative. In this case, I think it's kind of positive, or it could be kind of neutral. So, like, an example might be, in addition to the weather being so cold, it's also supposed to be stormy tomorrow. So if we start with in addition, we often have also in the second part. Like, in addition to my sandwich, I also brought some juice with me.
Okay, well, we also used the noun million there. So million is the number one with 6 zeros behind it. So if Hong Kong has 7 million people, then we would use the number 7 with 6 zeros. Now we can also use the word million like this. There are millions of people in this city. Now here we're not saying exactly how many people there are, just that it's over 1 million. Or we could even use it like this. Irma has millions of friends.
What?
Now, Irma probably doesn't have millions of friends, but what we're saying is that she's just really popular because she has a lot of friends.
Oh, so we're exaggerating.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you could say she has thousands of friends, too.
Yep, you could. All right, here's an example sentence. There are more than 2 million people living in Kaohsiung.
Yeah, and about the same number in Taipei City, right?
It's closer to Taichung.
Okay. Anyway, so going on with the article, we're talking about these wild boars. And as I said, they're kind of pig. These animals are cousins of pigs, but they have more muscle and hair.
Yes.
And I also think that they look a little bit different. Their faces look kind of like an ice cream cone, is what I think. Okay, so we are saying that these wild boars are like pigs. They're cousins of pigs, but they have more muscle. This noun muscle is like a part of your body that makes you able to move. Everybody has them. They're all over your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Your most famous muscles might be around here. They contract and they expand so that you can do really important things like breathe. If you have a heartbeat, your heart is a muscle. You can stick out your tongue. Your tongue is a muscle. Wiggle your fingers. And your muscles will do lots of things for you. They help you move around. They help you live your life. So here's the thing that's interesting. If you exercise or you gain more strength, your muscles will get bigger. That's why you see lots of strong people with a big, big muscle right here. And if you lose strength, they'll get smaller. You might slim down. Don't know about that. Here's another interesting fact about muscle. It comes from the Latin word for mouse, mus. So if they think that a mouse crawling up your arm looks like your muscle. So here's an example sentence of muscle. Gary is lifting weights at the gym every day because he wants to make his muscles look bigger.
All right, so we've learned that boars are like pigs, but they've got more muscles.
Right.
They've got more hair. Mm-hmm. And the article continues by telling us something else about them. It says, they can be as heavy as a person and will eat almost anything they can find.
Yeah, that sounds like a pig.
Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, and there's all sorts of things that boars are famous for because mm-hmm. boars live in many places around the world, mm-hmm. but primarily in forests.
Mm.
And Hong Kong does have forests around it.
It does, yeah.
So we see this word primarily here. And this is a nice adverb that means mainly or firstly and mostly. It comes from the adjective primary, which is from a word for one. Mm-hmm. So if we add ly to primary, we get primarily. That becomes the adverb meaning the main one. Mm-hmm. So primary means the highest or the main something. So if we say that they primarily live in forests or their primary area is forests, that means the place where you can find the most boars mm-hmm. is in forested areas. That
right.
means it's the usual place for them to live.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another example sentence for you. I sometimes sell my artwork for money, but I primarily work as a history teacher. So that means that person's main job mm-hmm. is a teacher, and then like side job is artwork.
That's right. Mm. Okay, so we did talk about these boars primarily living in forests,
mm-hmm.
but when we say primarily, it kind of suggests that
there's something else.
Live other places too, and that's what we're getting to. It says, in Hong Kong, however, they are happy to live in the city.
That's interesting.
Mm.
So, wild pigs living in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently this is not a bad thing for everybody.
Because, I mean, not everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some people would be afraid of wild pigs living there. Maybe they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Hong Kongers are starting to like it because it says some of Hong Kong's people have started to appreciate the boars, thinking they're cute.
Mm, that maybe not be the safest attitude.
Well, I mean, you can think they're cute, but mm-hmm. just don't touch.
Yeah.
Don't. Go close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Wild animals, no matter how cute they are, they can still hurt you.
Yes.
But at least you can appreciate them
mm-hmm.
from afar. So appreciate here is a verb that's talking about recognizing what something is worth
mm-hmm.
or recognizing it as a good thing or how it can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, I appreciate something, it can also mean you are thankful or grateful for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a lot of Hong Kongers are feeling grateful that the pigs are there because they add like a cute thing to the city. They're nice to look at and they're cute. So Hong Kong residents, I mean, they could think, oh, I wish these boars would go away and like chase them out or worse,
mm-hmm.
Kill them. And instead of being annoyed, they think they're cute. They like having them around.
Mm.
Yeah. So an example sentence of this appreciate might be, as children grow up, they often learn to appreciate their parents' wisdom more and more. That means whatever your parents told you as a kid that you were like, ugh, mom, dad, that's annoying. Then as you grow up, you realize, hey, my parents were right. I'm glad that they told me these things.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we saw that Hong Kongers are starting to appreciate these animals. They're starting to think they're cute. They're not really minding that the animals are in the city, right? But then in the article it says, unfortunately, large animals like boars can be dangerous.
Uh-oh.
Mm. All right, so we saw the adverb unfortunately at the beginning of that sentence. Now, before we were talking about maybe a positive side of the boars in the city. Here we're talking about a more negative side. And that's why we use this word unfortunately. It's because we're introducing or giving information that is sad, bad, or otherwise upsetting for some reason. So for instance, you wouldn't say, unfortunately, I got A+ on all my tests. Since that's good news or more positive, you'd say the opposite. Fortunately, I got A+ on all my tests. But you wouldn't say, fortunately, Peter was in a terrible accident. That's really bad news. So you would say, unfortunately, Peter was in a terrible accident. Of course, it's not strange news to hear that wild animals are dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, not everybody realizes that you should stay away from wild animals.
That's even right.
If they're kind of nearby, even if it looks cute, like Kat said, it could still hurt you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, for instance, I think tigers are really cute.
Mm.
I still wouldn't go up to one.
Nope.
No man.
Mm-mm.
So apparently, you know, they are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so the article says some residents have already been hurt by them.
Mm.
And the number of boars is increasing every year, probably because people might be feeding them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they also eat basically anything.
Yeah.
So if they're even just eating the garbage in garbage bins, that would keep them coming back.
That's true. That's true. So we're talking about who is being hurt by these boars. Well, it's residents of Hong Kong. And resident is a noun talking about a person who lives in a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, I'm a resident of Taipei, it means you live in Taipei. And you live there for most of the time.
Right.
Or you're registered to vote there. It could also mean that. It just means you have an address in Taipei that you can go back to. So you don't have to be born or raised in a place to be a resident there.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to live there for a longer period of time. So Aaron and I, we are not Taiwanese. We're not born in Taiwan. But we are residents of Taiwan because we've lived here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So this also turns into the verb reside.
Mm.
So if you are a resident, you reside in a place or reside at a certain address, which just means you live there.
Right. Mm. Okay, so we saw that some residents have been hurt by the animals, and we also saw that the number of boars is increasing. Now, when something increases, it becomes bigger or larger in amount, number, or degree. So if the temperature increases, the heat goes up. It goes from warm to hot. Now, if a city's population increases, more people are born or moved to that city, so the number of people there rises.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another example. The amount of water in this bucket keeps increasing. I really think we need to fix this leak.
Oh dear, sounds like you've got a big drip in your ceiling or something.
Yeah.
And the boar numbers are increasing. So that means
more
and more boars are coming into the city.
And that means more and more people could get hurt.
People or their other animals too, like dogs.
Yep.
Dogs could get in fights with boars, stuff like that. Okay. But the city, the article says, the city is trying to lower their numbers. They're trying to put a lot of them on birth control, is what I heard.
Okay.
And citizens are being warned not to feed the animals.
Mm.
Don't feed the boars.
Well, that's going to have to be one of the things that we do in Canada. I mean, we have a lot of bears and moose and deer in our forests, and we actually have to lock up our garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're feeding the bears. We don't want the bears to come into our yards. If they smell the garbage in our garbage cans, they do, right?
Yeah.
So maybe Hong Kong will have to start doing something about their garbage.
Yeah, that's right. They can learn from Canada in that way.
Exactly. All right, it says here, in the end, people will have to find a way to live together with their piggy neighbors.
Wink, wink.
Cute little use of piggy there.
Yeah.
But what does the phrase in the end mean? We use it to show that something will be true or something will happen after everything has been considered or thought about.
Mm.
So the people of Hong Kong have considered trying to lower the number of boars, and they've been told how to act around the boars and to be careful. But after doing all these things, they might just have to live with them. And do it peaceably, I guess.
I think it's not impossible. As long as, you know, they learn how to mind their manners, leave them alone, and don't leave your trash out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possible to do it.
Here's another example of in the end. In the end, Marie decided to go overseas instead of moving home or staying where she was.
Ah.
All right, well, that is the end of today's article. We're not finished quite yet. We will be right back with our For You chat.
Okay.
For You chat. All right, we're back with our For You chat question, and it is, what would you do if you had wild animals living in your city?
That's a good question, and it's one that I can actually answer truthfully, because my hometown also had wild animals that would come into it. We'd always see deer in the park, you'd sometimes see bears coming into the city. And the way that people dealt with that was we had an animal control team.
Right.
And so, like, they would never kill the bears. The deer they would leave alone, because deer just eat grass. They're not hurting anyone. And so if they found a bear that came into the city, they will shoot it with, like, a dart. It'll fall asleep. They'll take it back to the forest, and then everybody's safe. So people just, you know, try and leave the animals alone. You can take pictures of them. Don't get too close. Like, if any time you're dealing with wild animals, you have to remember they can be dangerous.
Even if it doesn't look like the animal can hurt you.
That's right. So even deer, if you try and mess with a deer, they can hurt you.
That's right. Especially a male deer. They have big antlers, and if you catch them around mating season, they won't be friendly.
Nope.
They're not cute all the time.
No.
So even if it's an animal that you think looks cute, you should always call someone who knows what they're doing to come and get the animal and take them back to their habitat. Basically, the same thing happens in Canada.
Yeah.
We have those situations where those wild animals come up into your yards and into the city, and we do the exact same thing. So,
right.
Yeah. I guess if that starts to happen in Taiwan, if I don't think there are many wild animals left in the forest here, which is also a problem.
That's very sad.
But if they started coming into the city, I'd hope that Taiwan would do the same kind of thing.
I think so. I think Taiwanese people love their animals, and so I think they'd be kind to them.
All right. Well, what do you guys think? You guys can have a chat about it, but we are all finished for today. So for English for You, I'm Erin.
And I'm Kat.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wild boars call Hong Kong home. Hong Kong is famous for its crowded streets and tall buildings. The city is more than just that, though. In fact, some locals are realizing that even Hong Kong has a wild side. In addition to 7 million people, many wild boars also call Hong Kong home. These animals are cousins of pigs, but they have more muscle and hair. They can be as heavy as a person and will eat almost anything they can find. Boars live in many places around the world, but primarily in forests. In Hong Kong, however, they are happy to live in the city. Some of Hong Kong's people have started to appreciate the boars, thinking they're cute. Unfortunately, large animals like boars can be dangerous. Some residents have already been hurt by them, and the number of boars is increasing every year. The city is trying to lower their numbers, and citizens are being warned not to feed the animals. In the end, people will have to find a way to live together with their piggy neighbors.
Vocabulary Review.
Realize. I thought my homework was due Friday, but I looked at my calendar and realized it's due tomorrow. Million. About 23 million people live in Taiwan, yet only about 330,000 live in Hualien. Muscle. The muscles on Eric's arms are huge because he has been lifting weights for a year. Primarily. This class is primarily about geography, but it includes some history as well. Appreciate. Though I appreciate Samuel is interested in learning, he should let other students answer questions too. increase. The number of customers at the restaurant increased after it got positive reviews online.
智慧小补帖
Unfortunately, resident.